glory, glory, rise, shine, give God the glory, glory, soldiers of the cross. We do take the cross, was he willing to suffer misery?
We are here to answer questions again today on the subject of divorce and what God says on it. So many questions have come on that particular subject that we have chosen to give, rather than merely answering the individual questions, to give a series of messages on that subject which will answer practically every one of the questions. There may be individual interpretations of it that will have to come in some other way. And these messages are also printed in a book, God Speaks on Divorce. This is a pocket companion size book, and a copy is yours upon request. Simply ask for the book by name, God Speaks on Divorce. If you want extra copies to distribute, which you may do, and I wish you would, we'll be glad to let you have them at 10 cents a copy or 12 for $1. I would say there are various phases of this matter of the divorce question to be answered. There is that which pertains to Christians only. In other words, when God speaks, he speaks concerning Christians, those who are both man and wife, born again. He has another word where one of them is not saved. In other words, mixed marriages. And before we're through with this series, I want to speak about that also. However, neither one of these has anything to do with controlling this matter in the unsaved. And so all I can say is what the Bible has to say to those who are truly born again. I say again, the Bible teaching cannot stop divorce among non-Christians. But if Christians would only comply to what God says, I believe we would have a revival today. But there are too many Christians, because of selfish reasons, that want to find a loophole in the Word of God and will not agree with what I'm going to show you the Word of God teaches. Even good Christians have misinterpreted what God says here. I want to ask you one question to start with. You answer it. Does God change? I ask you that question. Does he change? Do you believe that God would give one principle and then later on give a different principle because conditions have changed? And do you think that God ever changes himself or changes his plan or his particular instructions based on the conditions of man? You say, well, we have reasons to believe that he has. If he has changed, and when he has changed, he's given the reasons, and the reasons have always been because of the hardness of the hearts or the stiff-neckedness of the people, and it's been a permissive will and has not been in the program of God. You will find that law only permitted divorce, but it never justified it. It was still sin, it was still wrong, but he suffered it, but never endorsed it. Did you get that? Never endorsed endorsed divorce. The law never did. So I want to show you today, first of all, God's principle with reference to marriage. And that principle God has never revoked, never changed. And if he did change it, he would not be God, for he changeth not. He has no reason to change. You and I might set forth principles, but they may not work 10 years from now because we didn't know what would come 10 years from now. But God, knowing the end from the beginning, has stated principles, and he never changes. I want us to get that. So God made man. When he first made them, he made man and woman to be one flesh. No divorce was prepared or provided for in God's plan. Then when Christ was on the scene 4,000 years after man was created, he again states the principle as plainly as he can. There's only one place in the Bible, one book in the Bible, that seems to differ with this. And I'll come to that in a minute. But first of all, let's note carefully the establishing of this principle again. First, I read from Mark. I'm going to take time to read the scriptures so that we will not be fooled by any man's thinking. It's got to be according to the Word of God. So, in the 10th chapter of Mark, beginning with verse 2, the Pharisees come to him, tempting him, and they ask him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife?" I wish that we would note the difference between this question and the one that they asked that is recorded in Matthew. Here they simply ask him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife?" In Matthew they ask him, "Is it lawful to put her away for any cause?" You say, what's the difference? A lot of difference, as we'll see when we study Matthew's statement. And he answered, as Jesus answered and said unto them, "What did Moses command you?" Will you please keep in mind that Jesus was living under the dispensation of the law, and that he came not to break the law, or that is to put it away, but to fulfill it, and that he held the Israelites responsible for the law and for the keeping of it until the time that he died when he finished it. And from then on, we read that it was nailed to the cross, and now it's the law of Christ in us and not the Old Testament law given according to Moses. Of course, it still stands there as a mirror to reveal to us the sinfulness of man and the conditions under which man often lives in this sin. And so, what did Moses command? Not what did God say in the beginning, but what was Moses' command? Now, Moses was on the scene 2,500 years after man was created. Well, here's what Moses said. They said, the Pharisees now answered Jesus, "Moses suffered." And the word "suffered" means he allowed it. He went along with it. It does not mean for a moment that he justified it. He simply went along with it because God said so. And they said, "Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away." Then Jesus answered and said unto them, "For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept." Why? Because of the hardness of their heart, Moses wrote this precept. But listen, please. "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. And for this cause shall a man leave his wife, his father and mother, and cleave to his wife. And they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. And what therefore God hath joined together, that no man put asunder." Is that clear? Jesus laid down the principle. Why are men looking for loopholes? Because of the inner sinfulness, selfishness, and selfish desires, and the conviction of your own hearts, you want to find a loophole in God's Word to continue in your sinful actions. Those were hard statements, but my friends, you're going to have to admit that they're true. So let's read on. "When they were in the house, his disciples asked him again of the same matter. And he said unto them, Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery." No loophole here, friends. Here is the statement that Jesus now makes to his disciples. But let's look at another. Is this maybe the only passage? No. The fact of the case is, there's only one passage that seems to contradict this. In Luke, the 16th chapter, and in verse 18, just one little statement. Jesus says, "Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband, committeth adultery." No loophole. None whatsoever. This is again stated by Paul. In the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, verse 2 and 3, he plainly states that "for the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. I think that that's plain, isn't it? But let me just give you another passage. This time the 7th chapter, 1 Corinthians, verse 39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, but only, it must be, he says, in the Lord. Now the only passage in the Scripture, and I want you to note that, the only passage in the Scripture that seems to differ with this first principle is the one that Matthew gives us. Now then, we must understand, first of all, with reference to scriptural interpretation, there is no scripture of private interpretation. By that, if there are more than one scripture on the subject, you can't take that one and isolate it and build a doctrine on it. That's why we have so many divisions in the church today, because people have taken one little sentence out of its connection, disregarded the rest of the scripture on the teaching, and have built doctrines on it. So, true and faithful Bible studies, or students, accept the principle as God lays it down, and then if there seems to be a difficulty, they seek to understand the difficulty. But in this matter of divorce, people have sought, first of all, the one passage of Scripture which seems to be different than the rest of them, and have built their doctrine on it, and have completely ignored the principle which God laid down. That is wrong interpretation. That is false, hypocritical, and it shows that men, in their sinfulness, are seeking a way out for their sin, and God will not tolerate it. Let's put it down. He will not tolerate it. So I want to take you today to Matthew, the 19th chapter, and introduce you to that subject, and if we don't have time to finish it, then we'll finish it at another time. But in Matthew 19, here are the Pharisees again asking him a question, and please note carefully the difference between this question and the one that we found in Mark, the 10th chapter. In the third verse of Matthew 19, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? In this particular passage, in the question they ask Jesus here, they add to the question that they had in Mark. In Mark, they simply asked if it was a right to put away his wife. But here, they add, for every cause. Now then, the reason this is mentioned is because the very law of divorce itself had become so, it had become so terrible that they were divorcing them left and right for any cause. It was very much like it is today. Now, there is no divorce, I say again, in God's institution of marriage. The first time it's mentioned in the Scriptures was 1,500 years before Christ, or 2,500 years after the man had been created. And Jesus, in answering them this question, tells them why. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? See, first of all, Jesus clearly then states the principle again, how God, that is God's original principle, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. So after Jesus has clearly stated the principle again, then he answers their question. He answers the question first, however, by telling them why Moses permitted it. Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and put her away? He saith unto her, unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And then Jesus next states, and I want you to put this down and read it carefully, and next week we'll be continuing on this.